Everybody, welcome to the third annual Matt Men Awards. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by Rich Stamboulian. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Andrew. What's going on?
What's going on?
Nothing. I'm ready for these awards that we've painstakingly put together for the third year in a row. This has a potato theme to it, though.
This has a tremendous potato theme to it. The note. So let's start off by saying MG Geek, our producer, Matt, does all of this every year. As per Matt Men bylaw, all categories and nominees are selected by a collection of mole men, aliens, and Persians that carry potatoes on the train. Or MG Geek just gets drunk and he selects whatever the hell he wants, and sometimes none of this makes any sense. But that's the tradition here. This is the official Matt Men Awards. So, little input here, or info, I should say. The votes are collected using an anonymous collection system starting at the end of December. That means the voting period was from January 1st to January 10th, which is today when we're recording this. This year was super interesting. And December, yes. This year was very interesting because a lot of events affected a lot of the categories. Like men's wrestler of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
This could have been a CM Punk year. There were so many of these votes that could have shifted tremendously. Like, we're not even talking about the ones that are close. We're talking about, like, some of the numbers are shockingly low for certain people. Mm-hmm. And I think it has to do with certain, I guess, backstage events that happened.
Sure.
Which is very interesting. So, do you want to start this, Rich? Do you want to start with the big one on top?
Yeah, let's jump right into it. So, the first award is very interesting. Like you said, this could have gone a different way, but we're going to talk about men's wrestler of the year, the criteria, bell to bell and ring work, obviously, promos, consistency. I think by consistency, it would be time on the mat, time every week, in the ring without being hurt.
You know,
without taking uninterrupted, pretty much, and has held titles. And it was a long list. You know, we started with Hangman Adam Page, Bobby Lashley, great choices so far. Bryan Danielson, Jericho, Claudio, Punk. Punk should have the asterisk next to his name. Cody, same thing. Drew, Hijo del Vikingo, Tanahashi, Jay White, John Moxley, Gresham, Josh Alexander, Okada, Omega, Matt Cardona, Speedball Mike Bailey, MJF, Roman, Seth, Shingo, and Will Ospreay. All extremely, extremely good choices for Wrestler of the Year.
But all very good. I would say if you were to do a top list, it would be Moxley, Ospreay, Roman, MJF. You know, you could put in Kenny, you could put in, Kenny came in later in the year, but I would put in, Jericho, even, you know, there's so many of these, but when you look at it, huge spread.
Big spread across many different companies. Like I said, I think the asterisk goes next to Punk, Cody, and even, Kenny. You know, yeah. I would throw Jay White on that short list too, because, you know, God bless him, that dude really did all he could for New Japan in 2022.
And nobody watched. It's right. Shockingly that nobody. New Japan had a terrible year, but very good wrestling.
Oh yeah,
Ospreay too. Ospreay's one of those guys too, right? He suffered from this. But let's go. Let's go through the list of votes, right?
Mm-hmm.
MJF. I'm sorry, CM Punk with 2% of the vote.
Wow.
Would have been much higher if it was a very different year. MJF,
I think
4%.
Yep.
Seth Rollins, 4.5%. Will Ospreay, 4.5%. Jumps to Jon Moxley at 32.5%, and Roman Reigns at 45%.
Wild, right?
Wild. My vote was for Jon Moxley for men's wrestler of the year.
Mine was for Roman. And we talked about that last week, where it's like, it's very much like there's a hair separation between them. And if you want to be really analytical to it, Moxley did miss 3 months at the beginning of the year.
He did, but Roman only wrestled like 11 matches.
But he was on TV And that's a presence.
Yeah. Which you is know? Very interesting, right? What does mm-hmm. that say? I mean, listen, Roman's fantastic. I went with Moxley because he was everywhere.
Yeah.
Honorable mentions, obviously, Will Ospreay, Seth Rollins with 4 and 4.5%. Both with 4.5% and MJF with only 4%. I expect this year's 2023 to be a very different, next year when we do this, a very different running. Why don't you run through Women's Wrestler of the Year, Rich?
Women's Wrestler of the Year, still the same criteria, bell to bell, promos, consistency, and has held titles. This is a good list.
Alexa very good Bliss, list.
Asuka, Athena, Bayley, Bianca Belair, Britt Baker, Charlotte, Deonna Purrazzo, Julia from Stardom, who you guys should check out if you haven't already, Io Sky, Jade Cargill, Jamie Hayter, Jordan Grace, Kairi from Stardom, New Japan, Liv Morgan, Mayu Iwatani, Mercedes Martinez, Ronda Rousey, and Thunder Rosa. Solid, solid list for the women.
Who did you vote for?
You know, this one was tough, and I voted for Jade Cargill.
I did too.
Oh, wow, I did too. Awesome.
Yeah, I voted for Jade also. I think she had mm-hmm. the best comeuppance.
Yes. Yes.
Out of 100%. All of them. Bianca had a great year too, but I feel like I don't know why Bianca's rise as champion was muddied a little bit.
It was a little stop-start-ish, right?
And the emphasis wasn't on her.
I also think, you know, if you're going to go super analytical and by the criteria, her promos were always off and on.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's look at this. The winner, Bianca Belair with 35% of the vote. Runner-up, Rhea Ripley at 22%. I was shocked at that.
Yeah, same.
Can I intervene something real quick there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so when we asked people to vote at the very end, I think a couple people figured out they could vote more than once, and they might have splashed Rhea up because her number went up pretty good yesterday. So,
well, I mean, you still, know what though, I have to tell you, the work that Rhea's been doing at the last month or so has been unbelievable, and
pretty good,
so. You know, she's expected to be
it's
in a
warranted
big,
for sure.
Yeah, she's expected to be in a big spot this coming year. I well deserved, you know. I think that's a fair number, but honorable mentions: Jamie Hayter, 13%, big up, come up in this year. Britt Baker, 7.5%. She was unbelievable this year. Jade Cargill, that was my vote. She's become unbelievable, and Julia from Stardom, 4.5%,
which is who I voted for.
Which is who you voted for, of course. You
did. Really good.
Yeah, but you know
she is
what?
Awesome. She is awesome.
Look at this. But look at this. A lot of these names, like Io Sky, would have been much higher a couple years ago.
Yes.
You know, no Sasha Banks on this.
I didn't put her on because she was not around.
She wasn't around, but she would have been much higher up on this. Liv Morgan was WWE champion this year. Women's champion.
I am surprised that Mercedes Martinez did not get an honorable mention in ours because she was extremely consistent. And Athena too. I'm surprised because I know she's got like such a rabid fan base.
But you know what happened with her though? They turned on her. The fan base.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Wild. Wild.
You know who barely got any votes?
Who?
Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey. Yeah, because look at well, you know what? Look at her stock and how that's plummeted.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. But
yeah. You know, a lot of people say it has to do with her political, you know, what she believes in politically. But I can't believe that that's the reason why. I just think that she just had a bad year, that she has nothing behind her this year. She's just there. She's another person in that company.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly that happens. Rich and Andrew's Tag Team of the Year, the criteria, bell to bell, promos, consistency, and holding titles. There was a lot of good contenders for this. Aussie Open, the Best Friends, Damage Control, FTR, The New Day, Pretty Deadly, RK Bro, forgotten at this point. Sasha and Naomi, Street Profits, Swerve in Our Glory, The Acclaimed, The Briscoes, Usos, and The Young Bucks. Very, who did you vote for?
FTR, man. FTR. Yeah, okay. Can I interject real quick?
Yeah.
You are recording this, right?
Yeah.
I just had a flashback to last year where you missed the first 25 minutes of the show.
Yes. I totally forgot that's what we did. And we had to re-record it.
Uh-huh. MGU is having a conniption fit.
Wow. The winner, FTR. I also voted for FTR. 44.5%. Yeah. The runner-up, the Acclaim, 22%. Honorable mentions, the Usos at 17 and the Young Bucks at 8. I would put the Usos at 2. The Acclaimed at 3, just because of just the stock rise in, of the Usos over the last year and year or so in that company. But the Acclaimed, great second half of the year.
I'll disagree with that. I would put Acclaimed second and Usos third.
Okay.
Because the Acclaimed has had not only some of their best tag team matches in AEW, but they've been super consistent. And you know what? I think it's the Billy Gunn thing, because that guy knows how to get sign language over. You don't need to speak.
Did you watch Rampage?
Body language.
Did you see that match on Rampage with Jared and dude, that was that match on Rampage was great.
It was fantastic.
What a great
how
match.
How crazy is that? Yeah.
And I got, you know what was great? Jeff Jarrett did this like dastardly shuffle on the ropes. Did you see that, MJ?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Freaking great, dude. That guy, he's curing me of the PTSD that I've had from his TNA years. He's doing some really cool stuff, which I'm enjoying. This is good. I mean, well deserved to FTR. Yeah. I mean, really an unbelievable, unbelievable team. All right, Rich, you take next.
This one's tough. So this is men's match of the year. We're going to talk about our two favorites, but it's a really, really good list, you know? Cody versus Seth, Hell in a Cell, WWE 2022. This was Cody's second match back in WWE. This is the one where he showed up with his exposed and torn gnarly pec. And already you have the story going into it. Death Triangle versus Elite AEW Full Gear 2022. Great match. FTR versus the Briscoes at Supercard of Honor 15.
Yeah.
Jay and Mark Briscoe versus FTR, 2 out of 3 falls match. Death Before Dishonor 2022. Another FTR match versus Kyle Fletcher, Mark Davis in the New Japan Royal Quest Day 1.
That was a great match.
Great match. Gunther versus Sheamus, Clash at the Castle, hard hitting. The Jericho Appreciation Society versus Danielson, Kingston, Mox, Ortiz, Santana, Anarchy at the Arena. That was a fun match. The Briscoes versus FTR in a double dog collar match.
You know what?
Okada, Osprey.
Yeah. To me, best match of the year, debatable. My favorite match of the year was that.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah. This is a tough one because there's a lot of great matches on here.
Yeah.
And we're about halfway through. Okada versus Will Ospreay, Wrestle Kingdom 16, day 2 out of 10 days of Wrestle Kingdom last year. Keith Lee, Swerve versus the Acclaimed at AEW All Out on September 4th. Roman Reigns versus Brock, Last Man Standing, SummerSlam. Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul, Crown Jewel 2022. Who'd have thought?
Yeah.
Sammy versus Cody ladder match, Beach Break. Awesome. Shingo versus Ospreay in the G1 Climax. People have held onto that match like nobody's business. Like the ship is sinking.
Yeah.
Usos versus Street Profits, Money in the Bank. Ospreay versus Orange Cassidy. That's an interesting one. AEW New Japan Forbidden Door.
People really like that match.
People love that match. That match was great. But I feel like comparatively to everything that we just listed,
yeah,
it falls a little bit short. Now, what are your two favorites from this whole list? Because we got a good split from the crowd here.
So the Cody Seth match, I would say, was up there. I voted for Okada Ospreay day 2 of Wrestle Kingdom 16. But my runner-up would have to be the dog collar match. The tag match.
Okay.
But, you know, think of all the other matches that we had. You know, the Punk match was great. it was just we had a tremendous list of great matches. Now, the Golden Potato, the winner, Cody versus Seth, Hell in a Cell. You know, would it have been number one if he had not torn his pec? Probably not. It would have been considered an unbelievable match, but I think that added such an element to the story where it kind of shows, you know, the storytelling is very important in a match. Ed, you could have this unbelievable match. Okada Ospreay had this unbelievable match. They weren't even on my top three.
Right.
Cody Seth, winner, runner up. Jay and Mark Briscoe versus FTR, double dog collar match with 18.5%. Gunther versus Sheamus, clash at the castle, 16.5%. FTR Briscoe's 2 out of 3, 8.5%. So, Silver Potato, Logan Paul, Roman Reigns, shocked by that. Runner up, Cody versus Seth with 11.5% of the vote. Honorable mentions, Gunther and Sheamus, clash at the castle, 10%. Jay and Mark Briscoe, double dog collar at 8.5. It's interesting when you give people an option how it changes.
I am not shocked by the Roman Reigns, Logan Paul thing. If you're a cynical wrestling viewer and you watch that match, you could feel the magic of pro wrestling. And this dude outworked most of that WWE roster that night, right?
Yeah. Dude, he was... I mean, everything he's done in that company has been good. Like, every match. Has he had a bad match? No.
No, he's very well protected.
But very much the Ronda Rousey effect of her first year, right? You know, the more I'm wondering if he's like, okay, I'm going to show up more often. What happens?
I think it's, the Ronda thing, I think it's just her. I feel like sometimes the fans can pick up on somebody's just like, you know, I don't want to say crappiness. I don't know her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know why people feel that way. I don't know her. I don't know. You know what it is, dude? It was that cat eye makeup. She looked like Mac from Always Sunny. And that was it. That was it for her. Best women's match. You want to do this one?
Yeah, yeah. Best women's match. This is going to go gold and silver as well. Two chances here. Or rank your best two. I'm sorry. Same thing. Work rate, best story told. Did it create an online buzz? So, first up, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Mia Yim versus Bayley, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Nikki Cross, Rhea Ripley at Survivor Series War Games. I love that match. Bayley, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Alexa, Asuka, Bianca Belair, 6-person tag, WWE Clash at the Castle. Another good match. Another Bianca Belair match. Bianca Belair versus Bayley in a ladder match, Extreme Rules. Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch, WrestleMania 38, Night 1. This is very WWE heavy. Dakota Kai, Io Sky versus Alexa Bliss and Asuka at Crown Jewel.
Well, think about Jamie, it, right? It's mostly, I mean, think about how many hours of women's matches of content WWE has versus everybody else, you know, on TV.
Yeah, like apart from like Stardom. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, where people can have access to and watch. And plus, like we always say this on the show, the WWE women's division is Hollywood compared to a lot of the other stuff we see on TV. You know, they are the biggest. They are arguably the best in the world. And I think not that the other company should take heed, but that's the way to do it, right? That's like the template.
Yeah.
Up next, you have Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm at Full Gear. Kairi versus Mayu Iwatani at Stardom Historic NJPW Stardom Historic Crossover 2022. You had Liv as the champion. I'm sorry, Liv versus Alexa versus Asuka versus Becky. Lacey Evans versus Raquel Rodriguez versus Shotzi in a 7-way ladder match at Money in the Bank. Mandy Rose, Cora Jade, Io Shirai, Kaylee Ray, Fatal 4-Way at Stand and Deliver. That was a great match.
That was a very good match.
Rhonda versus Charlotte in an I Quit match at Backlash. That was a weird one. Thunder Rosa versus Dr. Britt Baker in the Steel Cage. St. Patrick's Day Slam. And Toni Storm versus Britt Baker versus Hikaru Shida versus Jamie Hayter. The 4-way for the AEW women's title at All Out. That was the interim one, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And then they later dropped it.
Yeah, and then they dropped the right after.
Yeah. So what was your favorite?
I voted for, I believe what did I vote for here? Hold on. Let me look at my notes. Let me pull this up. I believe, you know what? I did vote for Bianca and Becky at WrestleMania Night 1.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I'm sorry. My favorite, no. I'm sorry. I'm looking at my notes here. Jamie Hayter, Toni Storm.
Yes.
Love that match.
That was mine too.
That was my match. 19.5% they got here. Winner, Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania 38 Night 1 with 44% of the vote. I do think that they should be the winner. I'm surprised at the spread here. I think more people just are exposed to the women's division in WWE over anything else.
Absolutely.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, why not? And they're so big. You know, like look at every female that's on Raw and SmackDown, right? Yeah. They all look so curated. Everybody has great in-ring work. Would you say that this is like, apart from the women's revolution, would you say that this era of female WWE superstars is possibly the best of all time?
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's stacked, but, you mm-hmm. know, they put a decade of emphasis on that division. You know, but when did it start? 2012, yeah. 2011, 2013? When did the whole, you know, probably around this time, it's been 10 years of them developing what they have on TV today. And now it's a machine.
It's a machine, and look at the talent and how stacked it is. And it makes you think, like, you know, I personally think that Bianca is still on loan. Sasha is still on loan from WWE.
You
somehow.
Think so? Okay.
But it goes to show you, like, listen, does the company need Sasha Banks with all this talent? Kind of tough,
maybe,
right?
Maybe not. Listen, it's a spoke on the wheel mentality, right? Everybody's plug and play in that company. So the runner-up was interesting. The winner was Thunder Rosa Britt Baker in the steel cage at AEW Dynamite St. Patrick's Day Slam with 15%. The runner-up was Toni Storm, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, Sheeta, Jamie Hayter in the four-way. And after that was Jamie Hayter, Toni Storm. So the second vote went to all AEW matches.
Yeah.
The top three. Not one WWE match. So... I mean, other than Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, really, there was no interest in the other matches.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
I do think Britt Baker at some point is going to go to WWE.
You know what? What's the match for her there? Her and Charlotte?
Her and anybody. Like, you can put her in a program. Her and Becky, I think, would be... big bucks.
I'm going to go Jade before Britt.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, I feel like Jade would get lost in the shuffle. I feel like they'd make Jade a heavy for somebody. Because you got to think, like, her promos are okay.
Yeah. Next, the next category, the Jonathan Lives Return of the Year. The criteria, most impactful return or debut in a new place for fan engagement overall. Your choices were Bayley, Braun Strowman.
The big dummy Braun Strowman.
Is that a gimmick?
I'm back. I'm back and I'm dumber than ever.
Braun's not dumb. He just has a series, you know, he has a group of dummies.
Guys, we don't think Braun's dumb, but you know what?
We had a bit a year ago where we fantasized that Braun Strowman just collects a group of dummies to follow him around, and he would just call them the dummies, like an A-team, but just like dummy squad.
Look at the dummies.
Bray Wyatt, Candice LeRae, Claudio Castagnoli, Cody Rhodes, Dakota Kai, Dexter Lumis, Io Sky, Jeff Jarrett, and great. You know what? Jeff Jarrett gets my vote now. Johnny Gargano, Kevin Omega. Who is Kevin Omega?
Kevin Omega.
Kenny Omega, Samoa Joe, Saraya, Tegan Knox, Tommaso Ciampa, and William Regal.
All right.
So who did you vote for here?
I mean, come on now. It's Cody. Cody all the way. I'm a big Cody guy.
Cody all the way. But there is an argument for Kenny Omega, obviously, here.
Yeah.
I would, and Bray Wyatt also big, you know, there's a big argument for Bray and Saraya if it was earlier in the year.
Well, I feel like the Kenny thing gets muddled because he had two returns.
Kenny had two returns this year. The winner with 55% of the vote is Cody Rhodes, followed by Bray Wyatt with 14%. Honorable mentions, Kenny Omega with 10%, and Saraya with 5.5%. I think this was pretty fair. MG, what did you think?
This one went up pretty chalk as far as the ones I thought would go. I don't know. Bray Wyatt, I thought he would be higher, but I think Cody's entrance at Mania put this all over the top for him, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It was such a moment on the biggest stage, and that's the one that people will remember the most.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Next award, the breakout star, the French Tony Khan Award. Suck le bleu.
So,
suck le bleu.
So, you know the day's going to come. We're going to be red, right?
We're going to, with a French accent, yes. I can't wait till, like, you know, he's like, dude, what's up with the fucking French stuff?
He might be like, listen, guys, I love it. The most significant impact from a new player or previously underused.
Imagine he's like, I don't care for the French, all right? Stop that shit.
That would be hysterical. But I think he'd be I feel like if he saw a clip of it and was, because he's watched the show before, you know?
Yeah, of course.
I think if he saw a clip of it,
he'd be like, CM Punk.
Ah, what did he do to me? He ruined my business. This guy's eating too many baguettes at this press conference and making me look like a fool.
Croissant.
It makes me look like a fool.
So the most impactful new player or previously underused. There's a lot in this, okay? Let's go down the list. Austin Theory, Cora Jade, Dante Martin, Darby Allin, Dax Harwood. He wrote Hardwood. Harwood. Jamie Hayter, Takeshita, Liv Morgan, Mustafa Ali, Ricky Starks, Roxanne Perez, Sami Zayn, The Acclaimed, Wardlow, Wheeler Yuta, Wes Lee. I would say, okay, I'm gonna go down who should win, right? But there's an argument for Austin Theory, second half of the year.
Sure.
There's an argument for Jamie Hayter, Liv Morgan, Ricky Starks, Sami Zayn, The Acclaimed, Wheeler Yuta. I think Wardlow kind of, they shit the bed on him the second half of the year.
They did.
Who did you vote for?
It was tough because honestly, for me, it was between two guys.
Okay.
It was between Sami Zayn and Dax Harwood. Dax Harwood had some of the best singles matches on TV,
fantastic.
AEW.
Yeah, fantastic singles matches.
But I got to give it to my man, Sammy. You know, like Sammy was in the gutter, right? Sammy was in the gutter until they threw him with the bloodline and they let his personality shine. He kicked it up 20 levels and look where we are now.
Well, he was a guy that people are like, well, he's going to end up, people were like, oh, well, maybe he'll leave and go to AEW.
It all started. I got re-signed. That's where it really started.
Which match?
The Jackass match at Mania.
Yeah.
That's where it all started. It really, really kicked off and then he was on fire after that.
Well, I think people saw how much of an entertaining guy he is. You know, people that didn't know this about him, and I don't know how you don't.
Right.
Dude, I watched this morning, I think it was Wrestling Vintage, it's like Vintage Puru. You know what I'm talking about? So I believe it was that account. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but he posted a match from Chikara from 2011, and it's 1-2-3 Kid versus El Generico.
Wow,
what a magnificent match!
I was thinking,
I'm like, you know, we kind of got robbed. We never got to see that second run of Sean Waltman. I mean, for a number of reasons, right? But we never got to see it, and I feel like it's one of those that we got cheated out of because he could have hung with these guys, you know, at least in the 2010s.
You know, I wish he had the NXT run that there's a parallel universe where Sean Waltman has an unbelievable NXT run.
Yes. You know what? I think there is a parallel universe where Sean Waltman went to NXT in the early 2010s, so maybe like 2013, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And he had just a great run there working with, you know, Neville and Sammy and whoever else was, you know, those guys at that time.
I'm going to give you goosebumps.
Yeah, give me goosebumps, dude. So, you give me goosebumps all the time.
This is my weird fanboy fantasy. This is like off the top of my head right now. This is going into a NXT Brooklyn, right? Okay. Whatever year it is, 2016, 2017.
Okay.
Sean Waltman, insane feud with Bobby Roode, takes the title off of Bobby Roode. I think Bobby Roode held the title once, right?
Yeah, Bobby Roode was champion, yeah.
Where he was the glorious one. Let's say Sean Waltman takes that title Nakamura, off of him.
Nakamura, who was champion in 2016? I was at that show, the Brooklyn show.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot who... I forgot who was champion. I'll find it. Let's find it. Go ahead.
So Sean Waltman takes the title off of Bobby Roode at some point, right? Yeah. Ridiculous feud with Adam Cole that culminates at one of those Brooklyn shows.
Oh my
and
God.
And that's who drops the title to Adam Cole. Like, imagine getting like a 5-star match between Sean Waltman and Adam Cole.
Okay. NXT Brooklyn 2 was 2016. Okay. I was at both of them, I think. Nakamura defeated Samoa Joe at the 2016 one. Bobby Roode defeated Andrade. Asuka defeated Bayley. Revival defeated DIY. So let's go to 2015, previous one. Let's go here. NXT Brooklyn 2015. This would have been the year, right? Okay, Finn Balor defeated Kevin Owens in the ladder match for the NXT title. Bayley, Sasha Banks. Samoa Joe defeated Baron Corbin. Apollo Crews defeated Ty Dillinger. The Vaudevillains. Great act, dude. That was a great act. They should have just kept them the way it was. Defeated Blake and Murphy with Alexa Bliss. Jushin Thunder Liger defeated Tyler Breeze.
There's the spot right there.
Yeah. Emma, that is the spot, dude. You know what? That's the spot. There it is. Liger versus X-Pac. Tyler Breeze versus X-Pac. You could have done that.
Yeah. Well, I would have had him as Sean Waltman until a giant loss, and then he shows up as X-Pac. Just dirty. Like
My brother Alec looks like X-Pac.
He does.
He looks like Sean Waltman. Yeah. When he had his long hair. Emma defeated Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Dana Brooke. Bull Dempsey defeated Elias Sampson. Wow, Elias Sampson.
He had a last name.
Eva Marie defeated Carmella. And the Hype Bros, Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley.
Oh, boy.
Enzo and Colin Cassidy defeated Dash Wilder, Scott Dawson, Chad Gable, and Jason Jordan in an 8-man tag team match. Wow, this was, you know, I really like this card, but you could see like how young everybody was here.
Yeah, this is also like when NXT was very like indie-rific.
It was very indie-rific. Indie-rific.
Indie-rific. Yeah. You want to get back to the
yeah, boards? Yeah, I thought this was a nice little, yeah, but you know what? We went down the list here. Yeah. I mean, a lot of those guys became breakout stars. There would have been an argument for Takeshita.
Yes.
But that was my choice, by the way. I think this will be the year for him. 2023 will be the year. Winner, Sami Zayn, well-deserved. Runner-up, Ricky Starks, well-deserved. Acclaimed in third place, Takeshita with 10%. And I think that is very high, to be honest, for how little we got to see him on TV. But that shows how people are into him. Because he's like 18 feet tall, and Jamie Hayter, 9.5%. I'll give you a little tidbit. You want to know about someone that's 9.5 feet that's most likely going to be in NXT?
Hikuleo. Oh, I think I know who you're going to say. Yeah, Hikuleo.
All right.
Isn't somebody else on their way too?
Tamatanga? Yeah. I mean, you could. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't been. Listen, they've been interested in Tonga since like 2016. So I don't know. But I know that Hikuleo, I've heard his name like 18 million times.
Do you think Triple H is this is my I don't have a Triple H impression per se, but But do you think he's backstage and he's like, fuck, before my father-in-law comes back, I'm going to get the Bullet Club. I don't give a shit. I'm just going to get the fucking Bullet Club. They're all coming. And then, like, all of a sudden, Bad Luck shows up.
Do you think he's like one of those guys? He's like, fuck, my father-in-law's here. Ah, shit, my father-in-law's here.
On a certain level, I think so.
He has to.
He has to be.
Yeah.
You know? Like, on a certain level, he has to be like, oh, fucking guy. You know?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable story here. All right, the next category. Andrew versus the Persian Potato, the best feud of the year. The criteria is that their feud created intrigue and drew ratings over an extended period of time. A lot of good stuff here, Rich.
Mm-hmm. Oh, tons of good stuff. Adam Page versus CM Punk.
Great match. You know what? I thought that. Did you think the match was really good? I thought the match was a really good match. I think the fallout from this fucked up everything.
Yes, 100%. I agree with that. Paige has been one of my guys for years. And you know what? Part of it, sometimes I look at that and I'm like, ah, fuck CM Punk. You know? But it deserves to be on this list for sure.
Yeah.
Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch, great feud. Eddie Kingston versus Jericho.
Okay.
FTR versus the Briscoes. I mean, come on. Because that feud came from nothing. And the Briscoes were not even on TV.
I think that was the problem with this and why it's not the top one, you know?
Jericho Appreciation Society versus the Blackpool Combat Club. MJF versus Wardlow. MJF versus CM Punk. Again, that's what could have been.
Yeah.
Roman versus Brock. Seth versus Cody. Matt Riddle versus Seth Rollins. Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker. Lots of good feuds. I feel like there must be at least a couple missing here.
I'm sure there's a couple missing here. The winner.
There probably is.
Yeah. The winner with 35.5% of the vote was MJF and CM Punk. Runner-up, Seth versus Cody at 20%. Honorable mentions, FTR and the Briscoes at 18%. Jericho Society, Jericho Appreciation Society versus Black Bull Combat Club following that.
You know, isn't one that I thought would be higher?
Who?
Seth Rollins and Riddle, Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
Because that went 3 pay-per-views, I think, and everyone was good. So, but that one didn't get hardly anything, but that's okay. There's a lot of good stuff, like you said.
Doesn't it tell you something that Cody made the right decision where, you know, just looking at the data here, the winner with 35%, right? MJF versus CM Punk. And that was not even a fully finished feud. Your runner up was a WWE feud that only had two matches
two
before
matches.
Cody got hurt.
No, yeah, right. 2 matches before he got
Return,
hurt.
Return and then the Hell in a Cell. 2 matches.
And one of them he was hurt in.
Right. And that garnered the runner-up place with 20%. You know, isn't that crazy? Where you had these guys cutting promos and promos and promos, and they only beat out a 2-match feud by 15%.
Yeah. Fascinating. Fascinating. Next award.
Did we just
award.
Get Rich to talk numbers?
Rich, yeah. Rich is talking numbers.
Where am I?
The next vote, the Dumb Dumb Award, the Deacon's Worst of the Year. The criteria is that it was just a bad segment, a spot, or a match. JBL returns to manage Baron Corbin wearing the baggiest European cut pants ever. Ric Flair's last match, Ronda Rousey versus Shotzi at Survivor Series. Shane McMahon went into business for himself at Royal Rumble. The debut of the Maximum Male Models. Vince wrestles Pat McAfee and sells the worst stunner ever. At WrestleMania. All right. So, you know, winner, Ric Flair's last match with 34% of the vote. I mean, listen, I would say that there was a lot of other stupid shit that happened that were worse. Yeah. I think that's the most high profile negative. You know, I rewatched that match and it was terrible. I would not want to see it again, but there was a lot of positive elements in that match between Andrade and Lethal. So I can't make that my vote. I also can't do Vince and Pat because the overall match led to Steve Austin coming.
Exactly.
Shane going into business for himself. Okay, backstage stuff. I actually went with the debut of the male the Maximum Male Models and Ronda Rousey. Who was your pick?
You know, I also went with the Maximum Male, just because of like the list. I would have thrown the CM Punk press conference on here.
You know what? That should have been in there. We fucked
that
up.
That should have been in there.
Yeah, that would have been the vote. Yeah.
That shows up in other places too. Okay. So.
Uh-oh.
Trust me, I didn't forget about it.
A fraud alert from American Express.
Uh-oh. I got a frog alert.
All right, the next one is the Suncast Unsung Hero. The criteria is consistent, reliable, and can carry storylines and matches regardless of where they are on the card. Austin Theory, Bailey, Becky Lynch, Britt Baker, Bryan Danielson, Chris Jericho, Darby Allin, Dax Harwood, Drew McIntyre, Eddie Kingston, Kevin Owens, Matt Riddle, Orange Cassidy, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, Sheamus, Nakamura, The Miz, The New Day, and The Usos. This was interesting. The winner, Sami Zayn with 21.5% of the vote. I think that's very fair. Runner-up, yes. Kevin Owens with 19% of the vote. Okay, you know, he had a great second half post-Mania. Mm-hmm. And Eddie Kingston, 17%. Chris Jericho, 11.5%. Bryan Danielson should be much higher in there, and so should Chris Jericho.
I think The Miz should be a little higher, too, to be honest with you.
And The Miz is always an unsung hero in that company. Yeah. Very interesting, this category.
Miz is the perfect WWE superstar.
Yes.
I'm using air quotes for
yes,
superstar.
He is. He's everything that they want.
For me,
and why not? Because you need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next category, the Mat Men Best Faction of the Year. Your choices are the Best Friends, Blackpool Combat Club, the Bloodline, the Brawling Brutes, the Bullet Club, Damage Control, Dark Order, Death Triangle, House of Black, Jericho Appreciation Society, the Elite, Judgment Day, and Toxic Attraction. You know, one thing that stood out to me is that factions are back.
Factions
they were gone
are
for
back.
A very long time. You know, this is relatively a new category. I don't think, other than, you know, if you went back 4 years ago, what category would we have had? Not much.
Probably trios at the most, right?
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay, you would have the Bullet Club, right? You had, remember that dummy world order that Vince McMahon put together?
With who?
With, I think it was Rusev was in there, and then it was, do you remember that crew?
League of Nations.
The League of Nations, yes, with Del Rio. Del Rio was there.
Sheamus.
No, that wasn't that. What year was that? 25?
That was 2016.
2016?
Vince put them together to take out Roman.
Sheamus, Del Rio, was Bad News on there?
You know what's...
Bad News in there?
He was.
Yeah. Okay. You know what sold me throughout that? So remember the Rumble when they all came out and they took out Roman? The best moment was Rusev. Because all he did was start. No, Rusev came out and he started smashing all the TVs over and over again.
That's right.
All he did. Yes. He didn't touch anybody. He just started breaking all that, the old box TVs that they used to have. And
so
I think our joke was Vince had bought them in liquidation sometime in the 80s, and he was just going through them, and those were the last ones. They just had to get rid of them.
Yeah, he went on social media that later after that and said, "Now I'm the television champion."
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Freaking great. Obviously, no argument on my side here. The Bloodline, 61% of the vote. Absolutely the best faction of the year.
Yes.
Runner-up, Blackpool Combat Club. 16.5%,
and
honorable mentions, the Elite.
And it was really good.
Mm. Yeah. All right, let's go into the next one. The John Alba Celebrity Appearance of the Year. You had Action Bronson, Bad Bunny.
Oi. Hey, oi.
Bad Bunny, Johnny Knoxville, Logan Paul, Mike Tyson, and Pat McAfee. I guess Pat McAfee counts.
Yeah, he counts.
All right, so... Logan Paul, 51.5% of the vote, followed by Johnny Knoxville, 23.5% of the vote. Honorable mentions, Pat McAfee with 10.5%, and Action Bronson with 8.5%. Did Bad Bunny not do anything this year?
He just had the one Rumble spot, so that's
All right. Cool. Biggest cool. superstar.
I agree with this.
Brock Lesnar killed him, if you remember.
Yes, Brock killed Bad Bunny. Fantastic spot. All right, Rich, here's your chance.
This is Rich is aroused. Made you yell out loud because it was the last thing you thought would happen. Bray Wyatt's return at Extreme Rules. Claudio casting Anoli's giant swing to Chris Jericho on top of the Blood and Guts cage. Cody Rhodes being Seth Rollins' mystery opponent. Cody Rhodes revealing his torn pec.
Opponent.
His entrance to what?
His opponent, right?
Yeah, I said Cody Rhodes being Seth Rollins' mystery opponent at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Pretty sure I said that. Cody Rhodes revealing his torn pec during his entrance at Hell in a Cell versus Seth. Kenny Omega returned as the Young Bucks Trios partner. MJF's Fuck You Mark promo on Tony Khan. Sacre bleu. After Double or Nothing.
Sacre bleu. What he call me?
What did he say about me? I'll show him. Regal turns on Moxley, helping MJF win the title. Sami Zayn anointed the honorary Oos by Roman Reigns with a t-shirt. Saraya debuting at Grand Slam. Steve Austin having a match against Kevin Owens.
Okay.
Who did you vote for? A lot of
cool stuff.
You know, it's funny because a lot of this stuff, you kind of saw the writing on the wall. The Cody thing still popped me. But I did vote for Regal turning on Moxley.
Okay. I went with Steve Austin. I mean, that's, I don't think people anticipated it to happen.
No.
Never say never in wrestling, but I would not have anticipated that. I mean, if I wasn't like hearing stuff, maybe a lot of people heard too much and that's why, you know, it was like, well, we kind of knew this would happen. Cody revealing his pec, absolutely. A big moment for sure. Who else did you have? Who was your second choice?
Honestly, that Sammy, I fondly think of that Sammy promo with the Bloodline where they named him the honorary Oos after you think they were going to turn on him and kick him out.
Yeah.
You know, and they give him the t-shirt. Comedy gold, man.
Yeah, great stuff. I would go, my second choice would be the MJF FU Pierre promo, Tony Khan. That got 17.5% of the vote. Steve Austin got 11.5%. Sammy got 23%, and the winner was 27.5%. Cody revealing his torn pec at Hell in a Cell. Very interesting. So the second choice, Rich, was Sami Zayn. The second, the silver one. Sami Zayn getting anointed an honorary Oos with 26.5%, followed by the MJF FU Mark promo at 21%, and then Steve Austin third. Very cool. The Scoops Zarian most impactful story of the year. You ranked your best two. One story that affected the business the most this year that'll continue into 2023. We wrote 2022, but it's okay. CM Punk losing his mind in the Pro Media scrum and causing a major brawl between him and the Elite on 9-4. Mm-hmm. Cody choosing not to sign with AEW 12-15. Cody Rhodes returning to WWE on 4-2. Triple H being given the book after Vince's departure. MJF threatening to walk out at Double or Nothing. New Japan AEW announced Forbidden Door. Sasha Banks, Naomi walk out. Tony Khan buys ROH. And Vince McMahon steps down from WWE due to sexual and fiscal allegations. My pick was Vince McMahon. My runner-up was CM Punk. Those are the two big ones in my opinion. And I think Cody not signing would be three. And
yeah,
you guys seem to have voted exactly the way that I would have voted here.
Yeah,
with Vince McMahon stepping down.
Total chalk.
48%. 38% CM Punk losing his mind and Cody not signing with AEW. The silver portion of this, the second chance vote, was CM Punk losing his mind at 38%, Vince McMahon 24%, and Triple H getting the book at 12%. What did you think of that?
I agree with that 100%. I'm gonna go back to one category.
Yeah.
You know what really made me Percy lose my mind and made me horny?
What?
Okada showing up on Dynamite.
Dude, that was a great moment. And, yeah. and it was kind of overshadowed by all everything else that was happening, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of lot of overshadowing this year.
Yeah.
A lot of great moments, but a lot of stuff got overshadowed here.
The I think just because of the extra wrestling, the extracurricular wrestling stuff.
Extracurricular.
Right?
All the backstage stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know what I could have put on here and I didn't was CM Punk breaking his foot.
Mm. Jumping into the freaking crowd and breaking his foot.
Yeah. Stage diving.
Mm-hmm. And killing all momentum.
The whole summer.
Killing that entire momentum for AEW in the summer and Forbidden Door. Yeah. That could be in there. Next award, the Where's Denise, the biggest draw of the year. You ranked your best two. The criteria is star power, promo ability, and do you bring eyes to the show? Adam Cole, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Britt Baker, Brock Lesnar. Brian Dan- a lot of B's here. Mm. Brian Danielson, Chris Jericho, CM Punk, Cody, Drew, FTR, Jade,
twice.
John Moxley, twice you put in Jade, John Moxley, Okada, Kenny Omega, Matt Riddle, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, Ronda Rousey, Sasha, Seth, and the Young Bucks. This was a unanimous vote here.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Roman Reigns, the biggest draw of the year? Yeah. I would say so. CM Punk number two? Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Honorable mentions, John Moxley and MJF. The runner-up, the second, the silver potato went to CM Punk, Roman Reigns, Cody, and MJF.
Goes to say about the star power of, goes to say about the star power of CM Punk still. People want him, you know, regardless of all the backstage stuff.
I'm going to tell you, there's so much emotion with the CM Punk stuff. And when I talk to people that, you know, that cover wrestling, I sometimes don't know if it's their own personal belief that they don't want him to be there and that he's toxic and that he's going to ruin that company, or if they truly believe he will not return to AEW, because I look at it as a business. Like, that's how I see essentially everything. And how can you not want to make this work with him?
Right.
Like, I work with people daily that I would never want to work with or talk to or be friends with. I just don't like these people. Talking about MG Geek. Talking about Jonathan. But I do it because it's best for business. It's they provide something that I cannot provide in my everyday work, you know, my day job. You want to get the best people that you could possibly get no matter what. If you could put it together and work with them in some capacity, you will make sure that you could do this. CM Punk's one of those guys, and I think for AEW, I think he's very important to make this work. Do you agree with that, or do you think he won't be back?
You know, it's tough.
Again, or do you not want him back?
You know what? As a fan, I want him back, right? But I feel like me personally, as a fan, I'm soured by the whole situation, and I don't care. You know, I'm not going to hang my hat on the whole CM Punk thing. As a business and looking at it as, you know, doing what we do, yeah, I'd love to see the guy back. I'd love to see them hash it out and make big bucks and make everybody happy and make the fans happy and sell at arenas and sell merchandise. Of course I want to see that, you know? But, again, who knows? He apparently is a very temperamental guy, something that we've known for many years. And you never know. You know, this guy may cut off all communication with everybody except for Dax Harwood.
Yeah. By the way, Carl Fredericks has signed with NXT.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I think, you know, if there is an opportunity to make it work, I think Tony's going to take that opportunity to make it work, because this is a huge money opportunity for them. You know, they constantly talk about selling out a stadium.
Yeah.
You know, you put together a CM Punk, you know, you could do the three-way match, CM Punk and FTR versus the Bucks and Kenny. You turn that into a major feud with Kenny and CM Punk. There's a lot of money to be made. You're in a contract year. You don't have a top recognizable star like a CM Punk. I absolutely love John Moxley, but he's not CM Punk.
It's the parallel vision of what wrestling is becoming, right? where even at a certain extent, would you still consider John Moxley the king of the indies?
Yeah, John Moxley is in my opinion, my he's the wrestler of the year, in my opinion. Who did more for pro wrestling than John Moxley did? Who did more for pro wrestling promotions than John Moxley did?
Yes, and who wrestled, I think, above and beyond what was probably even asked of him. Like, he didn't have to wrestle Kojima, you know?
He didn't have to wrestle any of these dudes. He did Bloodsport. He did GCW.
Defy. Yeah.
Defy.
Defy.
New Japan, AEW. I mean, the dude has done everything. Everything you could possibly do this year. You know, greatest year for him? I think so. Ooh, he solidified himself as the backbone. Yeah. He became that guy. This was the year, in my opinion.
See, I feel like 2021 was more of his year.
Yeah, but it was still maybe so. He was still developing it, though. I think, you know, I think him stepping up was the year.
Yeah.
You know,
he
stepped up in that leadership role, which I think was needed. And it's been an instrumental part for AEW. Very interesting stuff this year. I expect 2023 to be totally bonkers.
Same here.
You know, we've already started off with insanity this year, much like last year. Listen, we were talking about Cody maybe not re-signing around this time last year. Remember that?
Exactly. And the more time goes on, I think the more we can play that fun game of like, hey, who do you think is going to jump ship to WWE from AEW? Who do you think WWE is going to sign now? Because it seems like, you know, contracts are up. The talent pool is burgeoning again, you know, like a lot of these guys on AEW who probably don't get TV time might want to go somewhere else, you know. New Japan's door is always open. You have that merger with Stardom, which is awesome. The return of Ring of Honor. You know, Triple H still having the book and buying all of Bullet Club.
Yeah, I know. I think, you know what? I would have imagined it would have been more of an exodus on the AEW side going to WWE, but now with the Vince McMahon story and the potential sale and all this other stuff happening in WWE, I think it's going to stall it. I think the people are realizing, wow, the grass is not always greener. They got a glimpse. They put on those glasses, like, and they live, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think if Vince was in charge, he would have let Nakamura wrestle that Muta match?
No, not a freaking chance in hell.
Mm.
Not a chance in hell.
Ah.
I still think Muto will go in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Very cool stuff, man.
Yeah.
That's it. That's our award show, guys. Let us know what you think. Do you agree with these? And we'll see you next time. Take care.